Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the Charmaine Show on Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Charmaine Augustine, and I'm super fired up, as I am all the time when I get to have incredible conversations with all my fabulous guests. Well, this morning, I am so honored to have a special guest on the show that I personally have dubbed Jamaica's very own Oprah. Today on the show, I have Dr. Sue Davis. And I'm so thrilled because I feel like we're going to dig so much into a lot of cultural things, but quite honestly, I know that 30 minutes will not cover it. So I'm going to jump into it right away. Let me just introduce Dr. Sue, and we'll have her tell us a little bit about herself. But Dr. Sue is an entertainer. Her extensive and diverse work and life experiences have made her the perfect candidate for everything humorous and educational. I know currently she is contributing to a project that we have going on as well to give back to the educational foundation in Jamaica. And she's launched her first CD, a poetry CD called Ode to Miss Lou, and a bunch of other things. Dr. Sue performs internationally. She's also a university professor, a devout Christian woman, and she has totally found her purpose, she claims, in life, which is to inspire, to serve, and to educate. And on that note, because of all that, we just didn't even know where to start. So we're going to start off our conversation getting to know Dr. Sue Davis on talking about keeping the island culture alive. Well, welcome, Dr. Sue. That was a mouthful. It took me 2 minutes out of the show already.
It sure did.
That's now, a short version.
You know, just to shorten it, what I just tell people, because of my diversity, I just say I'm British by birth, Jamaican mm-hmm. by choice, and American by naturalization.
Well, there you go. So you're every woman.
I'm every woman.
That's awesome. Well, I think I kind of covered it, and we'll get a little bit into some more of the things. I think apart from your accolades, your just your humility in serving and giving back to the community, I think is so admirable. So let us just jump right into it. Keeping the island culture alive, what does that look like to you, Dr. Sue?
Oh, my Lord, it's so large, and we can all play a part, Charmaine. It's mm-hmm. about those things that we grew up with that were so meaningful to our lives, just mm-hmm. the our humor. I mean, come on, nobody's as humorous mm-hmm. as Jamaicans. Our
That's
humor,
true.
Our little stories, even the little Anansi stories, the big boy mm-hmm. stories, if we can, talking about with Duppy and something them. Just even our children, though we're here in the diaspora, wherever we are, we can keep those spirits alive because those are what made us who we are. Our proverbs, the poems that we learned, and just our dialect, just talking about mm-hmm. our dialect, which is so beautiful, mm-hmm. and embracing it. So it's all about that. Once upon a time, I'm not sure if when you were growing up, when I was growing up, I wasn't able to talk patois.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I get
you
that.
Know,
me
it was
too.
It was the number one sin, and
yes.
so you'd only get the chance to do it when you're on the playground or when you're with your friends away from adults. You dare not stand in front of an adult and try to talk patois, and especially mm-hmm. in our case, not at home. So one of the things that happened with me is that going to school and being this kind of outgoing person, I kind of gravitated to the poems that were written in patois. So I got mm-hmm. a love for Miss Lou poems because to me that was, oh my God, it liberated me, and it allowed me to, it gave me permission, you know, to kind of talk in the broken language. So I kind of adopted those and was able to say it every time we have a concert, we try and learn another one and say it.
Right.
And I guess that's where it started. As I say, I'm British by birth and Jamaican by choice. I grew up, I spent my impressionable years in Jamaica. So right after high school, when I returned to London, one of the things that I found was that I had cousins and people there in London who had never even visited Jamaica.
Mm.
And Charmaine, they were talking more patois than me. I was flabbergasted.
Wow.
I got here and them talking to me. And so, of course, me coming from Jamaica and talking my English, perfect English.
Right.
You know, they're like, why are you sounding like that? You're coming from Jamaica. Because
right.
they didn't understand. They thought everybody Jamaica. So I think my really getting into it was when I returned to London, when it was okay to talk it. And so I started to write in that genre and perform in it and stuff. So that's how it came about. And I just grew to love our culture and realize how rich it is. And over the years, I've just tried to embrace it and impart it to the community as much as I can.
Well, that is, I mean, you know, you talked about, you know, growing up and the forbidden sin is to talk around your parents. I know for me it was my, you know, especially my dad, but, you know, we spoke perfect English at home. That's what you learned in school. That's what you spoke. So I didn't think that there was a difference. I just saw in looking back that, oh, we just had two languages, you know. And so like you said, you got the chance to do that when you were at school. So like you, for me, Miss Lou was, I remember, you know, memorizing and practicing Is Me by Louise Bennett.
Who that?
And for me, it was like, wow, what a thing, because it was exciting because it wasn't a voice that I heard at home, which is where you spend most of your time.
Mm-hmm.
And even at school, on the playground and with the teachers, I don't even recall, like, speaking broken language on the playground or whatever. Maybe, but I guess I've kind of come used to not doing it than doing it or speaking it. So part of keeping culture alive, you're saying one of the biggest parts is education. It is our spoken word. It is our written word. It is the humor, the proverbs, the dialect, the meaning of our lives and our ancestry. And directing this all towards the written word, the spoken word, because you are a performer, you are a writer, you're an author, you're a poet, you're a professor, and you are an entertainer, which I think I would love to see you entertain on stage. I think that will be so much fun to see you in live action. But how can we now begin to or continue to or resurrect this whole culture as it applies to our education system? Because, like you said, it wasn't a written language at school. It wasn't spoken about, and definitely not home. But it's more than just the broken English or the dialect. It's a little bit more than that. Let's talk about that.
Yes, it's so much more to us. You know, I must give credit. Miss Lou was probably solely responsible for taking our dialect, our patois, and bringing it on the world scene. She went out, and as she herself was someone who was very accomplished. She was a journalist. She was a broadcaster. Mm-hmm. She was an educator. She was an entertainer. I mean, she covered the gamut. But when she went out on the world stage, she always made sure that she spoke in her broken language, in the Jamaican patois, and got people used to it. Because remember, again, back in the day, you were looked down on if you spoke like that. So she gave she gave our patois power. Now that we have it, we just need to embrace it. I'm not saying by any means that English should not be taught in school and that it should not continue to be our first language, but we should also embrace patois. I mean, most other cultures, especially those of us in the diaspora, we realize most people who we live among, although they speak English fluently, they have another language that they can break into that you and I can't understand when they're together, you know? So why not us too, you know, have our own language that we have that we can hold on and say it's ours. And you spoke about me and writing. I've written over the years, and I had years ago very much years ago, had the opportunity of meeting Miss Lou, and she kind of encouraged me to keep writing. So I'm going to share this piece with you that I had written. She passed away in 2006, and as soon as she, you know, she passed away, and in memory to her, I wrote this piece called Ode to Miss Lou. Miss Lou gone, but her style still live on. Me now go make it dead, for with culture and lyrics we must be fed. Me can never be Miss Lou, you know. She was in a class by herself. But the re-engineer Dr. Sue, I go make sure see her legacy stay upon the shelf. We as Jamaicans need to celebrate. We rhythm, we rhyme, we reason. Big up with creativity. Don't hate. This is the time. This is the season. The season to relate and educate. We youth, we honoraries, and we friends. Make them feel and understand we faith. And make them know, say, Patwa never go end. Miss Lou, Mas Ran, Uncle Charlie and the rest. Spend them days giving of them best. The least that me and you can do is make sure, say, we see them efforts through. So, Miss Lou gone, but her style still live on. Me now go make it dead. For with culture and lyrics, we must be fed. Aye, aye, aye.
Aye, 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 that bad man. Wow. We love that. We love that. That sounds, all right, that was awesome. That was
having declared that, I have the responsibility, though, of going out there and make sure that it's kept alive.
Right, and therefore your travels to the many stages to make sure. And I think, I know, speaking of travels to the many stages to make sure, and I know you are traveling back to Jamaica shortly on an education summit.
Mm-hmm.
How is what you're doing going to impact keeping culture alive in terms of education and language in Jamaica? What are you going to bring to that summit, and what will we have to take away?
Well, this summit is, and I'll share with the community, we have what is called the Jamaica Diaspora Advisory Board members, and each year we have a conference. And out of that conference in 2013, we developed the Jamaica Diaspora Education Task Force. So we deal with education. And we had a summit 2 years ago where we met with teachers, principals, students, parents, PTA members, everybody. It was a real cross-section. Mm-hmm. What we wanted to do is not be going down to Jamaica and giving them stuff and feeding them with information that they don't really want, or, you know, letting them feel like we're throwing on them. So what that summit was about was hearing from them. So for 2 days, we met in two different areas of the island, and working with the JTA, which is the Jamaica Teachers Association, and also the Ministry of Education, we had these people come in, and we sat with them for 2 days, a delegation of us from outside of Jamaica. And we heard from them. What is it do you need from us? We want to help you. As educators that are working outside of Jamaica, we have stuff that we'd like to take to you, but you need to tell us what you want. And, you know, it was so rich. We went about and we got that information, and so we were able to put together a six-year plan in terms of stuff that we needed to implement. Okay, coming next week is going to be the second summit. Now, we're going back, and out of the first summit, one of the things that came out was that they needed, or they asked for training for their middle managers. Middle managers meaning vice principals, heads of departments, senior teachers, that kind of thing. A delegation of us, again, here in the diaspora, came together. We went to Jamaica. We did a needs assessment. We've now, working with the JTA again and the Ministry of Education, we've drafted a workshop. So we're going down next week. The summit is from March 21st to 24th. It's going to be 4 days, and it's going to be at Jamaica College. And the first 2 days, we're going to be working with these middle managers. We have a cross-section of them from across the island, and we're going to be working with them on the areas that they felt they had the need, the areas that they felt that, you know, needed to be impacted. So we got that from them, and we are now going. We are able to go and work with them in that area. So it's something, again, it's service, it's from the heart, it's
right.
totally voluntary. All of us
mm-hmm.
that are going down, we're paying our own fears, we're paying our
mm-hmm.
own accommodation, you know. It's just for the love of country and the love of giving
exactly.
back.
Absolutely.
And so that is something that we're doing. We also go down sometimes, and like you mentioned about the culture, we do go down sometimes and we share with them in terms of what we do here, in terms of our writings, in terms of, you know, doing cultural stuff with them, learning from them. And here in the diaspora, what we do is try to get the young people, the second and third generation Jamaicans, having events and stuff that we can share with them, our
right.
culture, so that they get familiar with it and they have something that they can embrace.
Right.
So that's
and
what
for
it's
them
about.
To be involved. I think that is, I applaud you for that, and that is amazing. I know I, you know, off air talk to you a little bit more on, you know, some other things and, you know, just other things that continue to drive us. And I think as we, as Jamaicans, and especially those of us, there are a handful of us that still always believe in culture, but more in terms of educating and
mm-hmm.
education and the written word and the spoken word and how important that is on both ends, you know, being
mm-hmm.
able to express yourself in your language and then in English, you know. And when I say your language, I'm talking about our, you know, our native tongue. In terms
right.
of our dialect, and but in the same breath, being also to making sure that there is a balance, but there is an embrace of the culture, you know, and that the young people, like you said, are involved, because a lot of times, you know, with the rise of the internet and everything in the Western world is, you know, infiltrated into the Caribbean and into Jamaica and all over the world, pretty
mm-hmm.
much. So there is more accessibility, and it's so easy for our own culture to be watered down, because
right.
it's like, where do we, you know, where, how do we hold it together and preserve it from
mm-hmm.
generation to generation, especially with travel being so, you know, so widespread now as well.
Mm-hmm. And here we are, this time we're working with teachers, but also just to let the community again know, we are working with the children as best we can within schools. The old administration that we've been working with for the past several years, which was on the Ministry of Education under Ronald Thwaites, they embraced or they saw the need for filtering into early childhood. Early childhood
yeah.
is something in Jamaica that got left a lot of the times. And we have to start with the young. You know, we
mm-hmm.
have the alumni associations and stuff that are here in the diaspora. And a lot of times when they're sending resources down, when they're going down to do professional developments and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that, they're going to the high schools, they're going to the primary schools. And so
mm-hmm.
the early childhood is being left out. So what we've
mm-hmm.
been focusing on a lot is early childhood, getting
mm-hmm.
these basic schools, getting these infant schools, getting them the full resources that they need so that we can start affecting our children from an early age. And I'm happy to see that now that we've changed administration and we're
mm-hmm.
now going to have Mr. Roald Reed as our Minister of Education, they have also in their mandate said that they want to continue to focus on early childhood. So I was pleased to see that. And so we're going to be working. We have to meet our children where we are.
Right.
Another thing that we did, Charmaine, I'll tell you, just to see what we're doing for
mm-hmm.
our kids. Last year, the Jamaica Diaspora Education Task Force, we had a camp which was called Summer Plus Camp. And what happens is we had these third graders in Jamaica that weren't even reading at first grade level.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they needed to be, you know, matriculated into the fourth grade. So what we did was we had this camp again in several areas of the country, and we had all these third graders that were failing come in, and we had the camp for them where we were trying to bring them up to the third
mm-hmm.
grade reading level, at least, so that they can be prepared for the next school year. Again,
right.
it's a lot of volunteering, it's a lot of going, but when we see the need, we do try to address these needs and get it done. So that, again,
absolutely.
Has been something that has been very impactful in terms of what we've been doing.
Absolutely. And, I mean, in terms of volunteering and educating, I mean, you know, I'm in. But I really agree so much with that early childhood and early childhood education. I think it's such a critical, you know, piece and just a really intricate part of education. Because when a child doesn't know how to read and write at an early stage, it becomes more difficult for them. And I know, like we talk about, like you said, from the high school or secondary school level, but the basic education, that early childhood, when it's almost like there needs to be kind of like a no child left behind mandate for Jamaica. Because interestingly enough, I'm just going, you know, I'm just kind of winging it here because I haven't like dug as deep into it. But I dare say there, and I'm gonna use a Donald Trump term on this, huge disparity and a really huge gap with in literacy.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think sometimes we kind of think because we're in, you know, we can read, we can write, we, you know, we educate people, we're educators, we teach, we do this, we do that. But there is still that lost group of children and young people who are illiterate.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a child has difficulty catching up, the only thing they know how to do is to fall out of the system or to drop back. And then, you know, then we wonder where our jobs are going and where, you know, the infrastructure is going and the education. So it really is that critical piece, that early childhood. And a lot of times it really just has to do with, you know, sponsoring or making sure a child gets to school every day or providing the pencils they can write with or
providing the meal for them to eat so that they can learn.
Exactly.
Children need to have a full belly for them to be able to learn, try learning on a hungry belly. You know, so it seems
it can't work.
It don't work.
Mm-mm.
And so those are the things that have been identified and we're trying to best address. And like you say, to fill that gap going forward.
Absolutely.
We won't get into it much today either, but another thing that we've identified and have been working with, because again it has to do with our youth and our young people, is the molestation of our young people.
Mm-hmm.
Last year we had so many of them that were actually being killed because not only were they molested, but they were, you know, becoming pregnant, and these pedophiles, as they are and should be called, are killing them. And so, again, we embrace that. I feel strongly about that campaign. There's a campaign in Jamaica called the No Go There campaign, and we've adopted it here, and we're taking the word forward. We're bringing awareness. We're going to stop sweeping it under the carpet. We have to bring it out. We have to protect our young people. We're stealing their innocence. We're stealing their trust. And, you know, they're starting to act
up,
and
they
wonder, why are they acting up? Kids don't just act up for no reason, you know. But
that's
it's because of what is happening around them. And a lot of times, too, we don't even have parents who are aware of what or know how to deal with it. Or, sadly, we have those that are pushing them into those situations because of money.
Or those are the one, or some of those are the very ones that are molesters, too,
whether it's their own children or
the neighbor's children.
The research has shown that molestation is usually from a member of the family. And even as well as the mother or father, you know.
Exactly.
So it's sad, but unless we start to talk about this and give a voice to it and bring it forward, which is something we're doing, it goes on. And we don't want it to think that this is just happening in Jamaica. Trust me, it's happening. It's a worldwide problem.
It
happens right here where I am. We have to be dealing with it in our community here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just a Jamaica problem. But because, again, for our love for Jamaica, that's where we want to focus our efforts. We want to focus our fundraising. We want to do everything so that we can help those situations because the children are our future.
And I think, you know, as a mother myself, raising three boys and very, very passionate about education, anything that has to do with children and making sure that our kids are well equipped, not just in one area, but their emotional state of being. Just like you said, if a child has come from a home that is broken or they have molestation going on or they're hungry, like anything that really brings that child pain, it's going to affect how they are able to learn at school. And the shame and guilt that comes along with things like that, They just stop going to school.
Mm-hmm.
And then they become the men or the women of the streets. They are start to grapple and struggle with their own sexuality and self-worth. And we create that monster. And it's great that we have organizations and groups such as the ones that you're involved in and the passion around those things and really trying to get the word out. I'm so excited about today's show because I think it will really bring an awareness to anyone who listens and making sure that, you know what, you can help, you can help, you can help in whatever way that you can.
And you know what, Charmaine, I feel led right now just to give my phone number out. So if anybody out there at the sound of my voice that wants to get involved, that wants more information, that want to work with us, just give me a call and I'll push you in the right direction. So my number is 954-648-2800. That's 954-648-2800. If you have any interest in helping out at all in any way, or if you have questions regarding what's happening down in Jamaica and what can be done, just give me a call. I'll be more than happy to embrace and to help.
Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that I've got the number personally. So, and we're becoming quick besties, have been over the last couple of days. But just really hearing you talk about this, and, you know I booked my trip to Ghana. One of the reasons is similar to what's happening in Jamaica and also kind of tracing back some of, like, my ancestral roots,
mm-hmm,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, I was on Peace Corps the other day, and I know there's a delegation going to Jamaica. But just for me, I was telling you the other day, it's really – kind of feeling like my life is more almost coming full circle, where I've always thought as a little girl, this is what I always wanted to do. And it's that fire and that passion never stopped burning inside me. And then just to be able to get to meet you and to hear all the things that you've already jump-started, and just really looking for people who are as passionate or even more passionate to really continue this, because it's not about our generation and the generations gone by. It's about the younger generation, the 2, the 3, the 5-year-olds,
mm-hmm,
the 12-year-old kids. And like you said, kids are losing their lives over things such as these, you know, getting pregnant, being molested,
mm-hmm,
not being able to stand on their own, or when they do speak up, they're not listened to. And I just want to say this, because I know my area of expertise, well, one of them, but in terms of my higher education is psychology. And I shudder to think about what is locked up in these children. And these,
mm-hmm,
are the ones that become adults. We forget that most of these children do grow up and they have a hard time coping in their relationships, in their marriages, in their lives, at work.
They carry
so much
with them.
Exactly.
Yes.
And the children are the ones. I don't think there's any counseling. Maybe there is, but
it's about the education and bringing awareness.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot that's available, but people don't know. So we
don't
have to bring it to the forefront.
Is.
And that's something
Absolutely.
We've started doing, letting them know what's there for them.
Exactly.
But Charmaine, as we wrap up, I want to share another piece with you before I go.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Share another piece, because it looks like you're monitoring this time more than I do, because we're at 90 seconds, so go for it. Dr. Stewart, was great having you on the show today.
All right.
Take it home, girl.
I am Jamaican by choice, so this one is called I Am Jamaica.
Go on,
I am Jamaica, I'm a team for the clear. I am Jamaica, shout it out in the ear. I am Jamaica, whether I'm in their yard or abroad. I am Jamaica, and they have me umbilical cord. I am Jamaica, because I choose to be. I am Jamaica, naturalized and free. I am Jamaica, hey. See me standing tall. I am Jamaica. It take enough to make me fall. I am Jamaica. Wait, you not hear about me? I am Jamaica. I defy all possibility. I am Jamaica. When me good bad. I am Jamaica. When me bad good. I am Jamaica. Me are the black, green, and gold. I am Jamaica. In body, spirit, and soul. Aye, aye, aye.
Goodness, Sue, it look like so you know how to manage your time, because you're like, Charmaine, I'm not going to miss this a piece today. But this was awesome. Thank you so much. Dr. Susan Davis, our very own Jamaican girl, making it happen and really making a change, a positive change, leading from where you stand. So I appreciate you on the show today. Thank you for being part of the Charmaine Show.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome.